Psalm 146, our text for this morning, is a text, I think, about choices. It's about who you're going to follow, who you're going to believe, with in whom are you going to place your trust. Psalm 146 says, in different translations, in different ways, that we ought not trust, as Max read this morning, leaders. In some other translations, princes. Do not trust princes, mortal men. Why is that? One is they don't turn out to be trustworthy, and the second is, even if they are trustworthy, their plans end because they're mortal. They die, they pass away. Not so with God. Psalm 146 talks to us about the choice that we need to make and the difference between trusting mortals and trusting God, what God offers to us, what kind of God God is. When I read a translation that said, do not trust in princes, I, of course, immediately thought of the Spin Doctors. Does anybody know the band, the Spin Doctors, and their song, Two Princes? Some of you may not, but you'll hear it in a moment, so it'll make up for that. But the Spin Doctors song, Two Princes, is a song, the lyrics of which I've not often paid much attention to, because I just love kind of the music, and it's part of my driving favorites mix. But when you listen to the lyrics, the singer is appealing to apparently a lover and saying that there are two princes who stand before you and they both want your love. One's like me, because it is me, and the other is like someone else. And part of the appeal is, I'm the one who loves you, baby. Can't you see? Right? So here's the choice. Marry him or marry me. I'm the one that loves you, baby. Can't you see? As I was reading those lyrics the last couple of weeks, I started thinking about God's voice in the prophets. That's kind of how God talks through the prophets. God's always saying to Israel, I know that there are other choices out there, other gods, other nations, other issues, but I'm the one who loves you. I've loved you forever and always. Can't you see? The psalmist proclaims a similar thing for God. God's the one who loves you. Can't you see? The psalm asks us to make a choice and warns us that there are mortal men and mortal women who will try to get us to choose them even over God. Here in this place and now on this day, the psalm reminds us that that is a false choice to make because there's no equivalence between those princes, those leaders, those others, and the divine. And we can recognize the divine not only by the resume of creation that God has to share, but also God's concern for, did you hear it as Max was reading? The oppressed, the prisoner, the immigrant, the orphan, the widow, the bent, the hungry. Been thinking about choices lately, too, because it's the political season, huh? Did you notice? I kept, you know, as I chuck into the recycling bin, right? So-and-so for senator, so-and-so also for senator, so-and-so for representative, so-and-so also for representative, right? All and all and all and all, and I'm placing them in the recycling bin and thinking to myself, all of these promises from all of these princes, what in the world am I supposed to do? And then I lament that it seems like we are such a polarized political landscape. And so I think to myself, well, maybe compromise is the best way to go. Maybe if we could just listen to one another, maybe we could share and we could make everybody a part of our choice. Wouldn't that be nice? And I thought about the fact that when I learned that was when I was a kid watching Sesame Street, right? We share, we compromise. And then I remembered that when my kids were kids, the Spin Doctors were on Sesame Street singing a version of their song, Two Princes, which I'd like for you to listen to now. And read the words underneath, okay? You'll see a Zoe, the Muppet, and two suitors to be playmates with her. My favorite driving tune. Enjoy the guitar solo for a moment.
Both princes said,
hey, you're really smart, girl.
Oop. Well, yeah, please, we're waiting for the next line.
Begin your scheme now.
Since then, you've learned to be more patient. Yeah, you're a team now. Three friends who've learned cooperation.
Yeah!
And lead the fun now. Let's give you three a big ovation. For what you've
All right,
done
thank
now.
You.
Yeah, yeah!
Cooperation is what we were waiting for there. So they took a Sesame Street spin on the question of choice, right? Two princes. Didn't they sound like politicians? I'm so great. He's a loser. I've got this. No, he doesn't. Back and forth and back and forth. And so the Sesame Street answer to that, of course, is when we're looking for playmates and playdates that we can cooperate. And that is a fantastic interpersonal answer. If you are sitting near someone with whom you disagree politically and you can't figure out what to do, you might talk together about what the problems are that face our country or our world or our community and find ways that you can participate together. Or if you're with somebody and you can't decide, do I like this food or that film or this film, you can cooperate. You can find middle ground. That Sesame Street answer is a wonderful interpersonal answer. But sometimes you have to choose. When you decide which God is your God, you have to choose, and the Sesame Street answer won't do. You have to go back to the original Hebrew Spin Doctors song. You have to go back to the original Spin Doctors, which is, marry him or marry me. I'm the one that loves you, baby, can't you see? God offers us a choice. There's no cooperating between God and Beelzebul. There's no cooperating between God and Baal, or God and Isis, or God and not God. God's people are asked to choose God. And how do we know about that choice? Well, it's the God of the oppressed. It's the God of the starving. It's the God of the immigrant, the orphan, the sick, the prisoner, and the widow. Psalm 146 isn't the only place you find that. sprinkled all over our Bible, page after page after page after page. Our God, the God of the Bible, cares about those people who are bent over, who are depressed and oppressed, who are hungry, who are imprisoned. First time Jesus gets a chance to give a sermon, he does it in his hometown in the book of Luke, the fourth chapter. He quotes from Isaiah very similar words, words shared by the psalmist here. In essence, Jesus is saying, if you want to know what I'm up to inaugurating God's reign right here in your midst, the God who cares for these groups of people. Biblical translations are always difficult and tricky, and sometimes the different glosses of various words can go one way or another. And so I asked Max to read the Common English Bible version. Now, when I asked him to do that, one thing I gave up was the princes, which I was playing with in my title. But one thing I gained is the word immigrants. Some translations say strangers instead of immigrants there. Others say resident alien instead of immigrants there. And a Greek word behind that in the Septuagint is the word from which we get our word proselyte. Proselytize, right? Somebody who didn't used to be in your group, but then came from outside and are trying to be a part of your group. And the Hebrew notion is the same. Someone who didn't used to be in your group, and then they came from outside and they're trying to be in your group. Resident alien is how you'll see that a lot of times. Folks who came from outside and now wants to live among us. We say immigrant when we think about that a lot today. And so that's why I chose the Common English and I gave up the princes for leaders. Here's the thing. The Sesame Street version, cooperation, can work if first we as people of faith agree that we choose God. Which God? The God who created the universe. Which God? The God of the oppressed. Which God? The God we know through Jesus Christ. If we make that choice and we stick with that choice, then as we ask ourselves, okay, how will we follow God in honoring and caring for and welcoming widows, orphans, the oppressed, the imprisoned, the hungry, and immigrants? Then we can play the Sesame Street version. Well, I think the best way for us to welcome immigrants is to do it through the federal government. Well, I think the best way to do it is to partner with other nations. Well, I think the best way to do it is this, this, or this. If we start with, we care for immigrants, then we can come together and we can debate about how we care for immigrants. If we start with, we help the hungry, then we can come together and cooperate about what's the best way to help the hungry. How do we organize ourselves to do that? But if we don't start with love, serve, help immigrants, orphans, the hungry, the imprisoned, the sick, the bent over, the oppressed, and the widow, we have not started with God. Psalm 146 makes that perfectly clear. And again, text after text after text in the Bible makes that perfectly clear. We cannot say, because I don't like, or I'm afraid of, or I don't understand anyone in any one of those groups I just named, that we're not going to care for them. If we reject those people, we have rejected everything we know about God. We must choose. There will always be voices in the world offering you another choice. Don't care about orphans. They're wily tricksters. They don't have homes. Don't care about immigrants. They're dangerous and they're coming to get you. Don't care about the hungry. If they were really hungry, they'd get a job. Don't care about the sick. If the sick get into our hospitals and use our health insurance, there won't be enough for us, and then what will we do? Princes, mortal human beings, offer those arguments day in and day out. This psalm and this Bible And this God whom we pray to and whom we praise asks us for a decision. It's time for choice. Now, you're going to have choices this week, political choices to make. And I would suggest to you, as you're making your political choices, look at this list and ask yourself, is the God that I believe in an important factor in how I make those decisions? And then think about the various politicians and what they offer. And I'll admit that there are different ways to go about taking care of and welcoming immigrants, the oppressed, the hungry, the sick, all of the entire list, orphans, widows. And I think that good and faithful people can have different ideas about how to do that. There are always going to be choices. And here's the thing. We're getting into a world where the choices are becoming more and more stark. And so now the cute spin doctors portion of the sermon is over. I'm going to get serious and tell you what I did last night. Susan and Hotso and Ben Pugh are in Marshall, Missouri for the Christian Regional Youth Cabinet. And so the dog and I had the house to ourselves, and that meant that I was reading theology, looking at Facebook, listening to music, and watching television all at the same time, which is kind of how I live my life. And here's what I saw on Facebook from Tracy Blackman, local UCC pastor and leader whom I've had as a student, whom I trust implicitly, a picture of a billboard that she said is a billboard here in St. Louis, with a picture of Donald Trump with his hands spread, and underneath it the words, "The Word became flesh," John 1:14. Make the gospel great again. Now, my first response was to sort of throw up a little bit in my mouth. That is blasphemy. That's why we don't have a picture of that here today. I was not going to put that in this sanctuary. I don't care who you put in the picture, whether it's Barack Obama or Oprah Winfrey or Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Jeff Moore, that's blasphemy. In this room, every year, just before we celebrate the incarnation, we read those words, and when we read those words, we mean Jesus Christ. Second thing I thought, after I rinsed my mouth out, was fake news. It hasn't gone that far, right? This is ridiculous, and of course, this is maybe it's the far left putting that out there, and I thought, no, I trust Tracy, right? And so then I watched back and forth on Facebook, and Tracy says, look, I took this picture with my own camera. And she said, it's St. Charles Rock Road and 170. So I went to sleep with a plan. Before I was going to mention that to you all today, I was going to verify with my own eyes. So, thank goodness we had an extra hour to sleep tonight. I got up an hour and a half early, and I went up 170 looking for that billboard. And I went up, and I went down, and I went back, and I went forth, and I saw billboards for neck pain, for chiropractors, for community colleges, for politicians, for wine, for restaurants, and I couldn't find that billboard. And I was there for 45 minutes, crisscrossing back and forth, up and down. I thought Tracy would never steer me wrong. She said she took it with her own camera. And while I was driving, I pulled over and looked. And then John Dorhauer, the president of the United Church of Christ, who grew up in St. Louis, says, I have now verified that it's really there. I thought, okay, one more time. So I went up north to Nathrow Bridge, turned around, and I'm coming south on 170, and it occurred to me, one of those billboards is digital, and it flashes four different ads every 15 seconds. So I pulled over, so I'm just north of St. Charles Rock Road, I'm facing south on 170, and I put my dinkers on, and I waited, and sure enough, there is a billboard in our city with a picture of a human being that's not Jesus and is Donald J. Trump. And it says, the Word became flesh. flesh. I don't know who put it there. I don't know if President Trump knows that it's there. I don't know who paid for it. I don't know if it's there to make me angry or to make you angry or to make anybody happy. But I'll tell you this, right now in our community, there is a billboard with a human being who is not Jesus Christ. And the caption, the Word came flesh. John 1:14, make the gospel great again. We've come to a point where it's not just talk about choices. Now our public arena includes images and words where others who are mortal princes and people who want to speak in their name are claiming something that's not theirs to claim. And again, I don't know that Donald Trump even knows that these billboards exist. So I'm not laying it on him. But I'm saying we now live in a world where that's an image that's confronting us. If you didn't think it was important before to understand your faith and to know who God is and to know the difference between the two princes that are calling for your allegiance, it is important now. Now you live in a community where even divine claims are being made by billboards. Again, I don't know the source. But by a billboard that exists in your community, Psalm 146 says, choose God, God of the oppressed, of the bent over, of the starving, of the immigrant, of the sick, the imprisoned, the orphan, and the widow, or your choice is futile. Now, once you choose God, and you choose the bent over, the oppressed, the sick, the prisoner, the immigrant, the orphan, the widow, then, and only then, I think, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, can we argue with one another and ask around cooperation of how will we serve and welcome those people. There are others outside of this book who will try to scare us. Widows are nice, I even know some, but look out for the hungry. They're scamming you. Orphans are okay, I've even met some, but watch out for those immigrants. They'll kill you. God took a risk on us and takes a risk on us every day and created every single one of those immigrants and widows and orphans and homeless and hungry and prisoners. We must, as people of faith, we must care for them. Jesus asks us to follow him in a ministry that's painful and confusing sometimes, but it's always a ministry of embodied compassion. And Jesus spoke words just like these about what his ministry would mean in his hometown. It ticked people off. He said that these verses, this scripture was kind of coming true in their presence in his ministry. It ticked them off so much they tried to throw him off a cliff. I'll bet I know why. It upset the apple cart. It made waves. And they were kind of scared. What's all this stuff about those poor, oppressed, immigrant, orphan, widow, sick, prison people? I'm trying to live my life, God. Two choices. Two choices, just like two princes. God asks us to choose God. God asks us to boldly and faithfully choose God. When we do that, we're choosing a lifestyle. We're making a commitment. It's a lifestyle of compassionate service. It's a commitment to following Jesus as he reaches out and offers his very self to all those who have been bent over, oppressed, all of those widows and orphans, those who are sick and imprisoned, those who are starving, and those who are immigrants. After all, they're God's people, every last one. I beg you, please, in this world where now even blasphemous images are coming to us, in our own community, don't forget and choose God. Then, having chosen God, understanding the people about whom and for whom God cares most deeply, then we can talk. Then we can debate. Then we can find ways to cooperate, to serve, welcome, and care for those people. In the name of Jesus Christ, that's the ministry, that's the life to which we are called. Amen.